Bible, Psalm 46, verse 1 to 5. God is our refuge and strength, and ever-presence helps in trouble. Therefore, we are not fear, though the earth gives way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its water roar and foam, and the mountains quake with their surging. There is a river whose streams makes glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her, she will not fall. God will help her to break of day. Amen.
Morning, church. For those of you that don't know me, my name is Michael Andreasen. I'm a missionary here in Thailand for probably more years than I can remember. I came out here originally with my parents in 1982, and this is where God has called me to be. So let's open with a word of prayer. Father God, thank you that we can come and worship you together this morning. Let the words out of my mouth be your words and not my words. May they be pleasing to you and bring life and hope to all. Remove any and all distractions and help me to focus on you, the reason for it all. May the words I speak be your words and bring glory and honor to you and your kingdom in your precious name. Okay, well, first place to start. What am I doing up here? For those of you that are regulars here, I am usually not up here, but you will find me sitting in the corner over there, talking to myself, mumbling to myself, in other words, translating. Funny story about that. When we first got the translating headsets, this was about 3 years ago, so our Thai congregation could hear the message in Thai. I was very excited. They were very excited. We got here early, set them up, put them on, tried them out, had announcements, had prayer, everyone could hear perfectly well. Yeah, up until the part where it got to praise and worship, and I forgot to turn it off. And I got through about the first line of the first song, and I had 10 faces turn and look at me with just this indescribable horror on their face, because they're hearing me sing in their ears. And that was not praising to God. That was not. And I was like, what on earth? And then I realized, so I turned it off, and I'm still apologizing to them to this day. So yeah, it's a work in process. We're figuring it out as we go along. So originally the plan was not this. Originally, I was going to get up here and share about something awesome, awesome, awesome that God had done and that I wanted to share with all of you. And this was going to be part of the announcements in the beginning. But God had other plans, and God knows. And so this is part of the message, in that God is real and God is here and God is working in ways we can see and in ways we can't see. So the testimony originally that I was going to share and talk to you about is in regards to Pastor Peacefully and Sumaki, which, as you may know, is one of our mission partners at CCC. Sumaki is a school and a church and a Bible school on the border with Myanmar in Mesot. They have about 900 kids of all ages there, and we've been involved with them personally, as well as CCC has been helping to support them for the last 3-4 years, and that has done amazing things. So if you've never been up to Mesot, if you've never been to the refugee camps, if you've never been to that part of the world, none of this will really make a whole lot of sense. So I'm going to show you a short 2-minute video from up there so you can just have a little tiny piece of a glimpse of what it's like there, and it will kind of bring into focus the rest of what I'm saying. So enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
these are people without hope. They're stateless. They can't go back to Myanmar because they will be persecuted. They cannot go to Thailand, so they're stuck in limbo. Now, as you can see from the pictures, the whole place is terrible, I think probably with the exception of the library, which was finished last year. So Kathy and I were talking around middle of last year what we're going to do this year and what we're going to help to support. So what Kathy decided was we wanted to do the kitchen because it's terrible and yucky and gross. And so they decided that the kids' church would take this on as their project to raise funds and support so we can tear down the old kitchen and rebuild it. Now, unbeknownst to us, as we started doing that, as Kathy held fundraisers and bake sales and ending up with, there you can see, that's, yeah, it's nasty, or was nasty, anyway. As she was working towards this, stuff was happening that we didn't know about. Now, the effort continues to be to get these people to go back to Myanmar. So what that means is that of the 90 to 100,000 refugees scattered in 9 camps throughout Thailand, they're making life difficult or more difficult for them than they were before. So what they did beginning of this year was they cut funding to all secondary schools in all the refugee camps. So if you're a kid and you want to study and you don't want to go back to Burma, the only choice you have is Thumiki. And so as the school year started and as they started opening up for new students, they just got a flood of new students coming in who wanted to study. And it's already full to overflowing, okay? Like there is no space, but they don't say no, especially to someone who doesn't have any other option. So I was up there last week and talking with them about how we're gonna help them deal with this crisis. And I mean, they have kids sleeping in awnings. They have tents set up where the kids are studying. Next week, we're going up on Tuesday to bring 100 desks and chairs so that even if they're studying in a tent, they can have a place to sit and write. But the awesome thing that the person in charge, one of the admin, told me that they just even said, not as a testimony, but in passing, was thank God for the kitchen. So I was like, yeah, okay, go on. What are you saying? And he's like, listen, the kids, they come from the refugee camp. We can squeeze them in. We can figure out ways for them to study. But the one thing that would have caused us to turn these kids away is the kitchen. Because with the old kitchen that we had, there's no way. We wouldn't have been able to cook for them and provide food. And so we would not have been able to accept these students. So without that kitchen, those 200 new students wouldn't be able to get an education. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that a praise? Can I hear a praise for God? I mean, you see, we didn't know. We thought we were building a kitchen. We thought we were trying to improve the conditions and help them, but God knew what was going to be prayed before it was prayed. God knew what was going to happen, and God touched Kathy's heart to do this amazing, amazing miracle, and all of you guys played a part in that. So praise God. Thank Him for that. Amen? Now, like I said, if it's not in the Bible, it's not about what I'm saying. It's not about any story. It's about what God's Word says. So what does the Bible say? If we turn to the book of Isaiah, chapter 65, verse 24, it says, "Before they call, I will answer. While they are still speaking, I will hear." Isn't that amazing? Isn't that God's word come to life here with us? You see, because we think we know a lot of the times, we have our own plans, we have our own opinions, we've got it all mapped out, but we don't know. We really don't know. God is the only one who knows. He has a plan. He has a purpose for everything. What is it for, though? What's the plan? It's for His kingdom and for His purpose. It's not for us. Sure, we're a part of the plan. We're a part of God's creation, but it is to lift up and glorify Him and His name. Matthew 6:10 says, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." That's it. That's the beginning and the end. That's why we're here. That's what it's all about. His kingdom coming and us playing our part in bringing that kingdom to pass. Now, when you're witnessing to people, when you're talking to people, even just in life, probably one of the biggest questions that you will hear and you will face, and even you'll ask yourself, is why? I know, if you're a parent, okay, I got four kids, all right? Probably about 50% of what you will hear in a given day is, why, Daddy, why? And that's because, for one, they want to know. They want to understand. They want to realize and get to grips with what is happening, and they don't. And the same with us. And I ask why many, many times. Why? I don't always know, and I don't usually understand. So, and then, of course, if you want to talk about the bigger picture, why, not only why are we here, but why did God create the world? Why did God create all of this? Well, if you read the Bible, if you go through it, the answer that resounds from beginning to end through the whole thing is God created the world and us in it for His glory. Not for us, but for His glory. If you read in Isaiah chapter 43, verse 6 and 7, or at least 6b, it says, Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the end of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name, who I created for my glory, who I formed and made. So even in the simplest, narrowest interpretation of that scripture, he's talking about Israel, right? And he created them for his glory, and as well, together with them, us, for the glory of God. The Bible is very clear, all right? Like I said, back to front, front to back, this is what it's talking about. Genesis. If we go to Genesis chapter 1, verse 27, God is talking about creating man, creating us. It says that God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. So what's the point of that? We're an image of God, all right? What is an image? Image is something that displays the original. Okay, it is not the original, but it's a display of the original. Anyone who has been in Thailand for long enough has probably been through at least one elections and one coup. This is kind of part of being in Thailand. So the election part means that you cannot walk down the sidewalk, pretty much any sidewalk, because of the forest of billboards and placards they've got with slogans and this and that and the other, advertising different political parties. But always there will be a smiling face of that politician and what it is that he's advertising. You see, he is trying to copy God and use his image to promote himself and what he stands for. Now, God's the original. Okay, none of this copycat stuff, all right? We're all created in God's image, all the people on the world. We are a reflection of God. Not only us, the angels cry out, bringing glory and praise and honor to God. If we read in Isaiah 6, chapter 3, it says, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." It's full of millions of human image bearers, but not only humans. What else do we have all around us that brings honor and glory to God and to his name? God's creation. I mean, okay, never mind Bangkok, but the rest of the world is bringing honor to God. Okay, so originally, again, for those of you who don't know me, I may sound American. I am not American. I originally come from Norway. Norway's a small place. We're generally pretty low-key, not a whole lot we're famous for. However, and you know, usually we don't take to bragging a whole lot in general. However, with one exception, when we speak of Norway, we call it, in our own humble way, God's own earth. Again, like I said, very humble. But again, if you go to Norway and if you see the incredible beauty of the nature there, it's awesome, and you cannot help but glorify and praise and be in awe of who he is and what he created there. And the same anytime you go into nature, all of nature is crying out in praise and glory and honor to God. Not only the people, well, many times because we live in a fallen world, the people are not, but the nature is. And if you get out there and if you fellowship with God, he speaks to you through what you can see. The Bible, it's very clear about this. If you read in Psalms chapter 19, verse 1, it says, "The heavens declare the glory of God." Now that's kind of interesting that he says heavens. All right, okay, some people might say that's talking about the earth and the sky, but it could also be talking about space and the universe and the whole caboodle, because he created the whole thing. And that brings glory and honor to God. I mean, of course, again, when you're witnessing to people, when you're talking to people and they ask you, well, are there other planets? Are there other galaxies? Are there solar systems that there are people? And who knows? I don't know. But I do know this planet, and I do know that God created it and everything and all the people in it, and that is to bring glory and honor to him. If we read in Romans chapter 1, verse 20 through 21, it says, "His invisible attributes, namely, his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in the things that have been made. So they being us, are without excuse. For although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God." That's often the case. We don't glorify God in our deeds and our words and our actions. So again, why? Why did God create us? Why did God create the world? Why did God create the universe? It is for his glory and for his honor. Now, the great tragedy in that is that while human beings, while we are made to glorify God, we have all fallen short of that purpose. If we open our Bibles and read Romans chapter 3, verse 23, it says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." All right? There's sin, and that opened the door to terrible, terrible things that happen in this world we live in. Romans 5, verse 12 through 21, it's a beautiful passage that encapsulates that, as well as the freedom we now have in Christ, through Christ's obedience and willingness to lay down his life for all of us. Read with me now. It says, "When Adam sinned, sin entered the world. Adam's sin brought death. So death spread to everyone, for everyone sinned." Yes, people sinned even before the law was given, but it was not counted as sin because there was not yet a law to break. Still, everyone died, from the time of Adam to the time of Moses, even those who did not disobey an explicit commandment of God, as Adam did. Now, Adam is a symbol, a representation of Christ, who was yet to come. But there's a great difference between Adam's sin and God's gracious gift. For the sin of this one man, Adam, brought death to many. But even greater is God's wonderful grace and his gift of forgiveness to many through this other man, Jesus Christ. And the result of God's gracious gift is very different from the result of that one man's sin. For Adam's sin led to condemnation, but God's free gift leads to our being made right with God, even though we are guilty of many sins. You guys can go back and read the rest and the rest of the chapter. It's beautiful and it's amazing, and it speaks to that very question, why? So just as sin ruled over all people and brought them to death, now God's wonderful grace rules instead, giving us right standing with God and resulting in eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Guys, we live a very, very blessed life okay, we have our routine, we have God's blessings, we know Him, we know His love, we feel Him. But the reality is, we live in a fallen world, and it's a sick, sad, messed up world. It's a mess, the world that we live in. We don't often maybe see it or feel it or realize it or come in contact with, but it's sick. People need God. We need God. One of the things that we do at iCare Thailand, where I work, as part of bringing Christ to people, is taking care of their physical needs, and one of that is education, which is very important, especially in the rural areas, especially for kids who don't have access to education. So to counter that, we set up dormitories in remote parts of Thailand so that kids can come down the mountain and have an education and live and be safe. Now, one of the first places we built was in Chiang Rai in northern Thailand. And part of the process before we did that was to go up there and to spend time not only at the school but with the families and to hear the stories and find out what the situation is. During that process, one of the amazing people we met was this 12-year-old girl called Supani. And we found out by walking with her that she walks 18 kilometers to and from school every day to get an education so that she can help to care for her grandparents because her parents have passed away. And so she was one of the target students to come and live in the dorm that we built. Now, as it was being built, unfortunately, she was first of all molested as she was going home, and then secondly, brought to her grandparents, where money was kind of forced on them so that they could take her with them to Bangkok. Thankfully, intervention was done. The school authorities came and they managed to stop it happening. But someone wanted to buy her for 6,000 baht and take her with them. All right, so this is the world we live in. It is sick. It is sad. It is in need of a savior. So this is the part where things start to come a little bit closer to home for us, okay? Because, of course, when we're asking the question, why, then the natural question that follows is, why does God allow terrible, terrible things to happen to us? Why does God allow sin and suffering in this world? As all of you know and heard, Roger and Lavanya lost their son the day before yesterday. Now, the first thing I have to say is, Roger and Lavanya, we love you so much. You have been a good friend to us and to our family. You have served God through this church for so many years. You have been a part of this family of God. And we are so, so sorry for your loss. And no words, nothing we can say will ever make that better or take that pain away. But we love, love, love you guys from the bottom of our hearts. All of our hearts break for them. And I don't know about you, but for me, probably the worst thing that could ever happen to me is nothing to do with me, but anything to do with my kids. And I would rather die 1,000 times than have anything happen to any one of my kids. I know the only one who understands and feels your pain and knows what you're going through is Jesus Christ, because He also lost a son. And not only did He lose a son, but He did it for us. So He knows and He understands. And He's here with you guys right now. You see, what we believe, what we teach about, what we talk about, whether it's in church on Sunday, whether it's listening to podcasts, whether it's wedding, whether we're getting together as a small group, that's not words, people. That's real life. That is truth. That is God. And if those words and those things we believe in are not real here and now for us, when times are impossibly tough, then we can just forget about it and go home, because it has no point. It has no meaning. This is when our faith comes into action. This is where we believe. This is the basis of our belief. It is faith. It is not seeing. It is not understanding. It is not knowing. But it is calling out to God and on that faith that He has given us, to give us that faith and to help us to have that peace. last night, the night before, there was about 20 to 30 people in Roger and Lavania's home. As soon as they heard the news, there was people from church coming there, loving on them, being with them. Guys, that's God's love. That is the church. That is the way it is supposed to be, because the church is not about this place. The church is about us, you and me. We are the church. We are God's church. And people were doing that, and were showing God's love to them. And that was just so beautiful to see and to witness and to be a part of. But again, we come back to the same question. Why? And I don't know. Okay, if you do find someone who does know, well, then he's a smarter man than I am, and maybe you can ask him to preach. But God knows, and that's the important thing, and that's what counts. And again, it's God's word that we turn to, and it's God's word that shows us direction and shines the light that we need into our lives at a time like this. And before we go to that, I just want to say, if any of you don't know God and don't have a personal relationship with him, I'm so sorry for you. I'm really sorry, because sure, maybe you can get through life, maybe you can hack it, but when it comes to time like this, there is no meaning and there is no point unless you have God and unless you have faith. The famous philosopher Friedrich Nietzsche, he said, you know, he's famous because he said God is dead, right? But he also is being attributed to saying later on in life, before he died, that life is a sick joke, and then you die. And if you do not have Christ, I agree with him, because it's all just cruelty, it's all just pain and suffering, okay? Without Christ, that's it. There is no meaning to it all. So let's find out what God's word has to say, okay? Read with me, please. We turn to the book of Psalms, chapter 46. Verse 1 through 3. Okay, it says, God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, and the mountains quake with their surging. God, He is our refuge, He is our strength. He is our ever-present help in times of need. So the first thing we do is what? We run to Him. We run into His arms. And we let His love fill our hearts with His peace and His presence. Roger and Lavania, I know you guys don't feel like this, but I was so incredibly blown away to see you guys crying out to God, to see you calling out to see Him, and to see you guys just throwing yourselves at God. Because that is the only thing that we can do. And that was amazing to see. And that was so beautiful. And you might not feel it, but God was there. And God was with you guys. And God had His arms around you and was holding you in the palm of His hands. Now, if we turn to Romans chapter 15, verse 13, it says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. What does that verse tell us? Well, first of all, we don't have that hope. All right, that's nothing to do with us. That's not something we have. It's the God of hope that fills us, that gives it to us, so that we may abound in hope. John chapter 16, verse 33 says, I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you may have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. And this is one of my personal favorite verses, Philippians 4:7. It says, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. That's it, right? It surpasses understanding. We don't have to understand. We don't understand. We won't understand. We can't understand. But that's okay. That's not the point. It's the peace of God that surpasses that, that fills our heart and mind with hope and guides us to Christ Jesus. Even when we don't have an ounce of strength left, God's peace is there for us, always and always. I mean, I know I have, and I know you have, all have had experiences where you have had to turn to God, and you had no other hope, and you had no other choice, but you had to believe on Him, and you had to throw yourself at Him, and you had to trust Him fully. And then when you go through some of those terrible experiences and times, then you come to understand and to realize not only His love, but how He can pick you up and carry you and surround you with Him and His love and His presence. And if you've never had an experience like that, don't worry, it's coming. You'll get there. But what does that mean, though, for us? When we get there, when we come to that point in time when we need to cry out to Him and we need desperately to have something that we believe in, you better know Him. Because if you don't know Him and you don't know who He is, yeah, He loves you, yeah, He'll get you through it, but it'll be a lot more tough. And there will be a curve where you have to find out who He is. And usually you'll go through a lot of other possibilities before you get to the point where you turn to Him. So let's not wait till that. Let's develop that personal relationship with Christ so He's a part of our life, so that every single day He is Lord and Savior and King of who we are. And so that when we are at that point in time, He will be that ever-present comfort and help in time of trouble that we need. In the book of John, chapter 14, verse 27, it says, "Peace I leave with you, My peace I give unto you. I do not give it to you as the world gives. Do not let your heart be troubled, and do not be afraid." Now, I thought it was interesting that it says here, "I do not give it to you as the world gives." What does that mean? What is He talking about? And I don't know, but I think one thing He could possibly be saying is, in the world, we try to hack it on our own, and not only ourselves, but other people. So when someone is suffering, we will go to them with our own words and say, "I'm sorry for your loss." And sure, that's all good and well, but that's not bringing any of God's peace. Just like you can say non-words that don't mean anything. I mean, I don't know, have you ever met someone and asked them how they were? And generally speaking, we don't like to tell each other how we are. We are not open and honest because we don't know if that person is just making words or being polite or actually is interested in hearing who we are, right? Because all those things are just words. They're just empty. They're as the world does it, okay? You know, the world says, "I'm sorry for your loss." The world says, "I hope you get better soon." The world says, "I hope it gets better." Thanks for that. That's great. That's not going to do anything for you. That's not going to get you anywhere. It is the peace that God gives that's going to be what gets you there, not anything else. Let's turn for a minute to the book of Romans and read from chapter 5. This is commonly known as the triumph of faith. It says, first starting in verse 1, "Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God." This is the same glory we've been talking about, why we were created, why God put us here. That's it. It's the glory of God. "Not only that, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope." That's what it keeps coming back to, hope. "And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out His love into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, whom He has given us." So let's break this down for a little bit. Let's talk about this for a little bit, okay? It says we have access to this because we have been justified through faith. That's what gives us the access to this hope that God has given us. We have received salvation. That translates into something incredibly special, and that's the peace with God through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that we have. And we rejoice in whose hope and whose glory? In the hope and the glory of Jesus Christ. Once again, it's not about us. It's about Him and His kingdom and His plan and His will being done. Now, then it gets really wonky, and you might even think it kind of goes sideways, all right? Because it definitely goes counter to what our natural human carnal mind is thinking, all right? Because it's one thing to have hope, but this is another thing entirely. It says, we rejoice in our sufferings because we know the sufferings produce perseverance, character, and character hope. So that's a biggie. That's a tough one. It says, we rejoice. That is something that is because of God and through God, because in our own selves and in our own character, we can't rejoice. We can't. It's not possible. It's not humanly possible. But that's what God's word says. So, how does this come back home to each of us? We've covered that. What are we supposed to do? We're supposed to run to God. We're supposed to lean into Him. We're supposed to seek Him and let His hope and His joy and His peace fill us out, fill us to overflowing. But where I'm going to leave you is what the scripture says, with a message of hope for all of us. Each and every one of the things that it says in God's word, it's not words. It is the living word of God, and it is true today, now, here, for each and every one of us in our lives. Whatever it is that you're facing, I don't know, God knows. Whatever it is that you need to trust God, to give it to Him, to have hope for, God knows. And this is what He's talking about, and that is what He's speaking about. First of all, if you're in a situation like that, run to Him, bring it to Him. Let Him give you that peace that passes all understanding. Then I want you to receive the hope that God's word gives to us. Let's open our Bibles to Jeremiah chapter 29 for a minute. We'll start in verse number 11. Now, if you've read Jeremiah, it's a pretty heavy-duty, full-on book, okay? There's a lot of stuff going on. There's a lot of realness. There's a lot of God's punishment and anger and wrath at His children, as well as a lot of faith and love and hope. And so what we're reading here is part of God's covenant to His people after they've been taken into captivity. Okay, and by taken into captivity, that means they were attacked, they lost, they were dragged off as slaves into another country. While they're in that other country, this is what God has to say to them as the covenant of hope. He says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me, and you will find me when you seek me with all your heart." So that's what it is. That's what it's talking about. It is receiving the hope that God has for us and turning around and seeking Him. Because the Bible says, when you seek Him, you will find Him. That's a promise, people. That's God's word. So whatever it is that you need God for, seek Him. Please lean into Him. Look for Him. The Bible says to call out to Him, and He will answer you and show you great, mighty things that you know not. This is God's promises, and this is God's word to each of us. So to wrap it up, there is hope. And more importantly, there is God's word, which speaks hope and speaks life into our hearts and to our souls. I would like you all to please stand with me and to put out your hands to receive the next three passages that I'm going to read. Let God's work speed life into you. Let it enter your hearts. Let it fill you to overflowing. Zephaniah 3:17 says, "The Lord your God is in your midst, a mighty one who will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you with his love. He will exalt over you with loud singing." Lamentations 3:21 through 22 says, "But this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness." Revelations 21:4 says, "He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away." Isaiah 40, verse 31 says, "But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." Thank you. You may be seated. So receive that hope that is promised for you. Wait on the Lord so that he can renew your strength, so that you too can mount up with wings like eagles, so that you can run and not be weary, so that you can walk and not faint. Go with God. Reach out. Seize it. Not for our own benefit, not for our own agenda, not for our own plan, but for God's kingdom and for what he wants done and for what he wants accomplished in our lives, here, now, today, and every day forward. Our God is an awesome God. Thank you.